Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Dr. Stuart Custer, Chairman Emeritus of the Division of Bible at BJU. The title of his message is, To Excel in the Service of the Lord. The text is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22.
It is good to see you all. I appreciate the opportunity of speaking. It's important for us as believers to realize our responsibility before God to excel. There are a lot of people who are quite content to just lag along behind, drag their feet. But we are to excel. We are to make real progress, not just in general, but specifically progress in learning Scripture, progress in being useful to the Lord, progress in Christian service. It's important for us to understand all the things that are involved. Now, part of this has to do with skills that you develop in school. Reading skills, for example. There are a lot of people in this world that read very poorly. They go along, they don't realize it, but their eye stops on each word on a line. That's very slow. You say, well, how do you do it better? Make your eye land between two words and go along two at a time. You haven't missed a thing, but you've doubled your reading speed. Time comes when you do that enough that pretty soon you can do three words at a stop. Keep experimenting. Half a line, the whole line. You know, theoretically, there's no limit. It's just your skill, your drill, your determination and practice to excel, to do better than the way you're doing now. Now, I'd like to mention a few things about past events. Dr. Bob Jones Jr., years ago, suggested to the students that every year they ought to pick out some area of knowledge, whatever that may be, and read up on it. Learn what was in that area. And I heard him say that, you know. I thought, well, that sounds like a nice idea. Maybe I should try it myself, but I've got a lot of studies to go through. But I thought about it. And at that time, I saw an item in the newspaper that the local Gem and Mineral Society was putting on a display at a mall in town, the rocks and minerals. And I thought, you know, that's an area I don't know a thing about. Why don't I go over there and look at it? So I did. And here were all these display cases set up with beautiful specimens in them, lovely crystal formations and so on. It was fascinating. And I went around and talked to the people there. Never seen such a thing before. And I found out they met every month, and I decided, oh, I'll go pay them a visit. So I did, and discovered they had all kinds of displays there and talked about individual specimens and so on. It was very interesting. Well, I went on, joined the club, became an officer, president, and now I'm a lifetime member. But it was interesting to learn all of that, and it was very valuable. Wherever I go, I pick up little rocks as souvenirs. I've led tours to the Holy Land, and when you're in Jerusalem, you know, there's rocks everywhere. Pick up a little smooth rock, that's nice. Bethlehem, there's another one. Well, coming back, my suitcase is full of rocks. The guards who are there at the terminal, you know, they look at that, and one came up to me and said, you've got a lead-lined suitcase. Open it up. So I opened it up. I said, no, it's just rocks in there. So he went through it, you know. See the look on his face as it actually dawned on him. This guy has rocks in his suitcase. That was worth the trip. Yes. Well, it's interesting to learn things like this about an area that you didn't know about, and it turns out to be much more interesting than you thought. Now, there are other areas. For example, historical studies. There's all kinds of things around you that are important for history. I can remember one time I was visiting up in the Norfolk area, and noticed there was a house in the area called the Adam Thurgood House. Went way back there, so decided, you know, that'd be nice to go through and look at. So I went to this house. It was long, spread out, a chimney at each end. And I thought, well, that's a distinctive form of architecture. I went in, and the docent who was there said, now look at this fireplace. This is the summer fireplace. That was a new category for me. Summer fireplace? Yes, if you look at it, the face of the fireplace is flush with the wall of the room, and the whole firebox is outside. So when a hot fire is started, the heat is radiated outside. Now, follow me to the other side of the house. We came over there. Here's the winter fireplace. And there, the back of the firewall was right even with the wall of the house, and the whole fireplace was inside the room, radiating heat in wintertime. Thought to myself, wow, they really thought that through carefully, didn't they? They had that figured out and had that fixed for both summer and winter. I thought that was quite remarkable. Well, in the same area up there, there was a museum, and the museum was the Glass Museum. That's something that I had never seen before. I thought, well, I ought to go and see what that is. The Chrysler Museum, as it was. Now, that's Chrysler as in the car, not the musician. Mrs. Chrysler was very good collector of glass, very meticulous about her house, which was a huge mansion. And as we come in the front door, the docent would say, now, look at the wall switches. Everybody looks around. No wall switches, no light switches anywhere. And the docent said, now, this was one of her peculiarities. She wanted everything to be just neat and perfect, and wall switches were not right. So she touched the wall, and the panel pivoted, and there are the wall switches behind the paneling. Every room in the house was that way. And everywhere we went, we saw glass. Well, alongside of that mansion was the Chrysler Glass Museum, her collection, individual collection. Now, I've not been interested in glass that way, but I thought, well, here we are, let's look. So I went in there, and here was Egyptian glass, Roman glass, glass from every nation under heaven, just one case after another. I was thunderstruck to see that quantity of glass, all different. When I left that place, the word Steuben had a completely different meaning in my mind. It was quite an experience. Well, now, everywhere you go, you have opportunities to learn things. And it's interesting to open up new doors, to have new perceptions of things by keeping your mind open to new ideas all the time. Excel in learning. Now, some of you may be aware that you have a bald eagle sitting down in the science building, an immature bird that was collected when it was legal to do that, so it's a very early, old specimen. But that is a huge bird if you stop and look at it. And people today who are birders, ornithologists, will travel down to Florida in order to see bald eagles today, and they're all over down there. That's nice to see them. They're a very distinctive bird, very majestic in flight. And sometimes it's interesting in places you don't expect to find birds. I preached for a pastor out in Arizona one time, and he said, you know, you've got to come and see the hummingbirds. Now, that was a new one on me at the time. He drove me down almost to the Mexican border, and we parked in the middle of scrub growth. And he says, come on, it's about a half-mile walk. And as we walked, I began to hear the thunder. We got closer and closer, and here's an area where there were 30 different hummingbird feeders in a great big circle, probably 100 feet around in that circle, shrubbery all around outside of that, and the visitors stood back of the shrubbery and watched. Hundreds of hummingbirds coming into every feeder, around them and out and back in, all around that place, clouds of them with a thunderous roar of their wings you could hear for a long way off, probably a half mile away. That was a staggering experience. I'd never seen anything like that. Well, the birders now travel long distances for that. Ornithologists, they're called. And so wherever you go, you're going to find things, birds, and the ornithologists are interested in those birds. When you say, you know, I saw the southern goshawk the other day. Immediately, the birder is going to know what you're talking about. How did you know what kind of a goshawk it was? Well, the northern goshawk has a line over the eye that's very distinctive, you know. That distinguishes it from the southern variety. So, for birders, that's very important. But it's information like that that you can collect quite unconsciously when you start reading things and absorbing truth in different areas. Now, it's important for us to recognize that the more we can learn, the more contacts we have with people. The more that we're able to communicate, the better we can work in the gospel testimony, the witness for the Lord Jesus. Now, as we talk with people, they have special interests. Some of them have hobbies in certain directions which you may never have thought of. That's all right. Reading broadly enables you to contact some of those areas so that when the time comes, you'll be able to talk intelligently with them and be able to work in the gospel plan of salvation as well. Now, it's important to recognize that everything you learn can be useful for the Lord. When I was in college as a student, I had not been interested in opera before that time. But as you know, there's opera every semester. It's very impressive. And I was deeply impressed by the operas that I saw. Well, I had an aunt and an uncle who were the liberal branch of the family. They regarded us as fundamentalists, rather ignorant, and they were the cultured people. Well, I had a chance to visit them. And in the conversation with them, I just mentioned some of the things at Bob Jones University that I had already absorbed, such as an opera. Immediately, they were galvanized to attention. Opera? Which one was that? Well, it was Aida. Oh, they wanted to know who sang the lead roles and how they played this scene and that scene and so on. I was able to give them a rundown of what happened. And mentioned that before I had seen Faust. Oh, all over again. Who sang the roles then? What did they do in this scene and so on? We had a marvelous discussion of opera, which I never could have done if I hadn't been here to see some of them performed. And it led naturally to a discussion of other things at the university, such as the religious emphasis. And for the first time in my life, I was able to give them a witness of the scriptural plan of salvation, and they listened. Now, because you know something about their interests and are willing to talk with them about certain subjects, you will find that they will reciprocate by listening to you as you talk about things that are of interest to you. It's important for you to broaden your understanding so that you know many different things and can talk about them, so that you have contacts with people and can lead that conversation, hopefully, to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, friends, your education is not a minor detail. It's a very important one. It's the equipment that you are going to be using all your life in order to serve the Lord. Your ability to speak to others, to talk to them about other things, is a vital part of your witness for Christ. And here at the university, you are learning how to communicate. You are learning how to project ideas to others, how to organize things. You are learning areas of study that will be contacts for you later on in life for many different kinds of people. Do not think that the breadth of your education here is just wasted effort. You'll be able to use everything you learn here and use it for the Lord as you organize your life and your teaching so that your contact with others leads to a spiritual direction, a blessing. Now, remember the Apostle Paul's words, "I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." 1 Corinthians 9:22. All things to all men. Now, Paul was a kind of person very well educated. He was able to talk to people from the upper levels of society to the jailbirds, and he proceeded to do so. Wherever he went, he talked to people. He was able to understand them. He was able to communicate to them. And he saw a harvest of souls. That is a great illustration for us all. We all need to recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ can be honored day by day by our conversation, and we need to make sure that our understanding is equivalent to the task, so that as we communicate to others, we bring them their interests and our gospel, that the Lord Jesus Christ might be honored and glorified. God is the strength of my life. The psalmist was speaking clearly. He did not depend upon himself. He depended upon God. We must depend upon God the same way to accomplish his purpose through us and be a blessing. Let's be eager to excel in the service of the Lord.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Stuart Custer, Chairman Emeritus of the Division of Bible at BJU. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.